You hear this being recorded?
Yeah.
You recording it?
Yeah.
Okay, Josh, we're going to begin. Okay. We have a great schluss, Harav Gaon of Simon Shlita. He's a Gaon. He's the Gaon Mamish, and he knows Kol Torah Kula and Lomdus. He matches his learning with his Midas Tovus. And without any further ado, thank you for coming. And he's going to be speaking on the topic this summer. We've been learning Hilchos Taruvos. Please.
So, Shus Rabbi Hirsch, I thank him for inviting me summer to share some different Torah. Zefer Nishmas Avi Mori, Yaakov Ben Yisrael Pilchas, Zefer Nishmas Daniel Sheinlas, Yeshua Falk. Okay, I'd like to say over some inyanim from Inyanei Tarovis, and I'm sure you've learned these inyanim, and perhaps we could be mosif some inyanim as well. One of the main topics in Inyanei Tarovis is the din of Tam Ke'ikar, that we know that the halacha is that if you have, you eat a be'en, you eat a piece of chazer, so of course you violated a lav d'oraisa, to eat a kezayis, you get malchus. But what if you didn't eat a piece of chazer? You had a piece of chazer that was cooked in a pot together with a potato. There's a kezayis of chazer and a kezayis of a potato. They were cooked together in the same pot. In halacha, we call that a tavshil shel basar. That's why we hold that if you would eat a potato, we paskin the halacha that you have to wait 6 hours between because it's a tavshil shel basar. It's cooked together in the same pot, the fleishik and the piece of treif meat and the potato. So it's a tavshil shel basar. However, the halacha is that if one eats the potato, even though he doesn't eat the meat, say the potato and the meat will cook together. And now you take the potato out, and you're not eating the meat, you're just eating the potato. So that's the din of Tam Ke'ikar, that even though you're not eating the ikar, you're only having the tam that went into the potato, and we assume since there wasn't shishim, it was a kezayis to a kezayis, 1-to-1 ratio. It wasn't 60-to-1, so therefore, obviously it's not batel. Therefore, if you eat the potato, then you violated an iser. So is it an iser d'oraisa or an iser d'rabbanan? So that's the famous machlokas, where the tam ke'ikar is an iser d'oraisa or an iser d'rabbanan. We have many Rishonim say it's an iser d'oraisa, learned out from various different psukim, either from Mishras or from Heksha Kalim. You know, there are a lot of different makoros that seem to indicate that it's a din d'oraisa. Because why would you have to be machshir kelim if the whole tam ke'ikar would only be a d'rabbanan? So what? You have a treif kli. But it's only tam from the kli is going to go into the food. So what do you have to kasher it? It's only the tam. And the Torah says you have to kasher it. So it must be that tam ke'ikar is a din d'oraisa. And then they have shitas that say, shitas Rashi, that tam ke'ikar is only a din d'rabbanan. Tam ke'ikar is only a din d'rabbanan. Meaning, once you have rov, at least if you have to have rov. If you have rov, heter, and miyat iser, but you don't have shishim. So then, that's the shayla of, because if you didn't have rov, so then it's not even batal anything. So then even Rashi would agree that it's a din d'oraisa. But if you have rov, so it's already batal b'rov, and it's only a question of not having shishim, so then shitas Rashi is that now it's only d'rabbanan. The requirement of shishim is only a din d'rabbanan. Whereas the other shitas say no, tam ke'ikar is a din Is it din d'oraisa? The requirement of shishim is it din d'oraisa? And then the rov is the cutoff point. Where if you didn't have rov, it would be d'oraisa l'kul y'alma. If you had rov, it would be. If you had rov, then you knocked out the d'oraisa. Ostensibly, the shita of the Rambam is that the cutoff point is kezayis b'chtei achilas pras. That's Rav Nachum Sauer pointed out. That seems to be the Rambam in the beginning of the fifth parak of in Hilchas Nazir. That up to kezayis b'chtei achilas pras. So it's like a 6-to-1 ratio. It would still be less than 6-to-1, 4-to-1, 3-to-1. It would be still an Isser Daraisa. And after that, from 6 to 60, that would only be a requirement Midrabanan. Whereas Rashi Shita is that the cutoff point between a Daraisa and a Drabanan, so once you have Rov, the requirement of Shishim is only a Din the Rabbanan. And according to the Rambam, it would also only be a Din the Rabbanan after 1 to 6 or 1 to 8, whatever you hold of kezayis b'chei achilas pras is, and then the requirement of 60 from 8 to 60, that's only a din derabanan, and the Rabbeinu Tam shita is that the whole din of shishim is a din deraisa. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam has a chiddush in Tam Ki Iker, and that is quoted in the Rush. That's the source of where Rabbeinu Tam is quoted. It's quoted in the Rush, and the Rush says that not only Tam Ki Iker is a din d'oraisa, but heter nishapech lios iser, meaning if I eat the original scenario we gave, one kezayis of a potato, one kezayis of treif meat, and they cook together, and now I just eat a kezayis of the meat of the potato. Eat the kezayis of the potato. So what's the din if I eat a kezayis of the potato? So I violated a nisa d'oraisa, but do I get malchus for that? Do I get malchus for violating? Because if not every d'oraisa you get malchus for. You have to serve. You have to eat a kezayis. If you eat chatzishir, is no malchus for chatzishir. So the Rabbeinu Tam shita is the way the Rush Club quotes it, is that it's heter nishapech. So if you eat one kezayis of the potato, even though one kezayis of the potato is not a kezayis of meat, because part of it is potato, it's tam of the meat, but it's not a shtick flesh of a kezayis of meat. So the chiddush is that since the tam is nirgash in the whole, and any time you're going to take a bite of that potato, you're gonna have a tam of meat. So then that's ki'ilu, the whole thing is meat. That's the chiddush of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Chazon Ish writes that it's not true. No one ever said such a thing. No one could ever say such a thing. It's against the Gemara. What Gemara? Because the Gemara says in that he had a case of a pot of meat, and he had a chatzi kezayis of chaylev that fell into the meat, and so the Gemara says that it has to be batal, or else. So the Gemara says, lo tazalzel b'shirid derabanan v'ot chatzi shir asu min haTorah. So the Gemara says it's a shail of chatzi shir. So frak the Chazon Ish, what do you mean it's a shail of chatzi shir? If you don't have a shir bittel, you have to be mishayer whether you have a shir bittel or not, shishim or not. So and if you don't, then hetin is hapech. So then it's not a chatzi shir. In other words, clearly you had kosher meat, and then you had a chatzi kezayis of chela fell in. So the Gemara says, well, that's a shayla of chatzi shir. So frek the Chazon Ish, what do you mean it's a shayla of chatzi shir? If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, then when you're going to eat now kezias of the meat, right? The kosher meat. Hetin is hapich, and now you're going to have. It's not a chatzis shir. It's a shir shalem because according to Rabbeinu Tam, hetin is hapich. So that's why the Chazon Ish says it can't be. No one says such a thing. The Rosh said it. Okay, whatever. Can't be. Many years ago, Rabbi Willig wanted to suggest that maybe the idea is that if the be'en is only a chatzis shir falls in, so the tam ki ikir can't exceed what the original be'en was. So it's like a carbon copy of the original thing. But not everyone agrees with that, because l'maisa, if you have a chatzis shir and then you put it into a shir sholem, it's the same svara that every kezias of meat that you have is going to have a tam of the chalif. So maybe even though a chatzis shir fell in, if you hold het in this hapech, a chatzis shir becomes a shir sholem. Why not? Why does it have to dafka be like that? Some say the word is, there's some shitas that hold that a chalev and basar is considered min b'mino. It's not considered min b'sheino mino. So if it's not min b'sheino mino, then you won't have the din of het in this apech. Even though that's not so simple, because that comes into the shayla of basar shma, basar taima, etc. But that's based on some Rishonim that say that's not called min b'sheino mino. But that's an interesting thing that the Chazon Ish. And then there's a Rashi that seems to say also, and the Rebbe Kiva Eger, which has this whole the same discussion with the Chazon Ish versus this Rosh. Rashi and Rebbe Kiva Eger had a discussion like this as well. Well, now we know there's another famous machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Ephraim, whether about chaticha nasas nevela, right? When you have a belias sister, say you have a piece of meat, and then you have your potato, and a kezias, you say the potato was 5 kezias and big, and the meat was just a meatball, 1 kezias, and that it was cooked together, and now the potato is cooked someplace else. So now to mevatel it, you have to have only to mevatel the shear of the 1 kezias of Isser, or do you have to mevatel the whole chaticha of the potato? So Rabbeinu Tam says that you have to mevatel what? The whole chaticha of the, in other words, the potato was 5 kezias and big, the meatball was only 1 kezias big, so you have to mevatel the whole thing. That's chaticha nasas nevela. And what? Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, that's only done by basa b'cholov, chaticha nasas nevela. Because basa b'cholov, the two things come together, create basa b'cholov, two divam shel heter, so then the whole chaticha is nasas nevela. But by a potato, it's kosher. And then you have treif meat. So then mehechi teisi that chaticha nasas nevela. The pshat is, the potato was kosher. It's still kosher. It's just now there's a tam iser in it, so you're not going to be able to eat it practically. But that doesn't mean that the potato is treif. So therefore, if that potato falls into another pot, you only need mevatel the kezias of the blia and not the whole chaticha. Now, at the first glance, when you see this machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, this seems to be a perfect carbon copy l'shitoso of Rabbeinu Tam. Because if Rabbeinu Tam holds chaticha nasis nevela, Rabbeinu Tam holds chaticha nasis nevela even b'shar isurim, and we know that, and if you want to say not like the Chazon Ish, but like the Rosh says, the Rabbeinu Tam's sheet is that hetin is hapech, so then that's exactly what Kanan is, that hetin is hapech. So this should be a carbon copy of the shitaso of these two Rabbeinu Tams. If you say it like that, carbon copy of these two Rabbeinu Tams. But Rav Soloveitchik was not into that. Who said it? It's Karma Kabi, the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that it's Lishitaso. Rabbi Konigsberg quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik that he quoted from the Michas Baruch. I don't know if he ever found it inside in the Michas Baruch itself. Michas Baruch was from Baruch Krinker, right? He was the Baruch Slavsky. He was the Rav in Chaslavich. So that's why. Okay, so from Baruch Krinker is Shkoyach. Thank you. I'm sorry. From Baruch Krinker, he was the Rav in Kaslavich. That's why they say that Rav Shachter said that Rav Soloveitchik used to quote that sefer, the Michas Baruch, because he was the Rav of the town in where Moshe Soloveitchik was. See, it's interesting that Moshe Soloveitchik was never. Someone just asked me recently, how come if Moshe Soloveitchik was the older brother, Brisker Rav was younger, so how come he didn't become the Brisker Rav? Right? When after Reb Chaim, how come he didn't become the Brisker Rav? And So what's the answer? What's the answer to that question? How come he didn't become the Brisker Rav? So I was schmoozing with Rabbi Reichman this summer. We were talking about this. So he explained to me, I forget who he said that over from. I forget. But he said that it's a simple why he didn't become the Brisker Rav. People don't know this, what I'm going to tell you now. But because he was the older brother, so he already had a shteller already. He already was a Rav someplace. So that's when Reb Chaim, was Nifter. So what happened was, he eventually was going to take over, but he already had a shteller, so he didn't take over right away. But the point was, as a result of him not taking, he was able to, then he went to America and he was okay. The Brisker Rav lost his whole family because they stayed in Brisk. So people don't realize that it was a big mazel for Moshe Soloveitchik not becoming the Brisker Rav. Because if he would have been the Brisker Rav, which is his brother became, then the whole mishpacha was decimated. And then the Brisker Rav was able to come to Eretz Yisrael. So it was a big mazel that he didn't become the Brisker Rav. You know, people today just know about the Brisker Rav and learning and things like that, but in terms of the history of what happened, you know, why didn't he become the Brisker Rav? You know, so it was a big mazel that he didn't become the Rav and Brisk after Reb Chaim.
Okay. So the Michas Baruch was a Rav in Kaslavich. So?
Yeah.
So what was the Michas Baruch in Kaslavich?
So that's where he was living there, and then I don't know at which point he became a Rav, whichever community.
He became a Rav in that town too.
I don't know if it's that town or a different town. I have to look into that. But interesting Nakuda. So Rabbi Kodas were there in the Sefer Kros of Rav Soloveitchik. He said that the Michas Baruch used to say that these two things are connected. And but it's a but I don't think he ever found where he says it in the Sefer Michas Baruch. Maybe he had an oral tradition of that, but it's in the Prima Gadim. It's in the Prima Gadim has this Lishitaso. But Rav Soloveitchik, I remember Willick said this over. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that wasn't Lishitaso. And in the Sefer Binyan Yaakov, which is a very nice Sefer on the different parts of Yordaya and other things, says not that way. At first I thought, oh, this is like a tremendous Lishitaso. Of course it's Lishitaso. But if you think about it, it's not Lishitaso at all. These two Rabbeinu Tams have nothing. But they're not Lishitaso. And I'll explain to you what it says in the Sefer Binyan Yaakov, why these two Rabbeinu Tams are really not Lashitasa. The Hainu why. Very simple. Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is, if you have a kazayis of a potato that was cooked with a kazayis of a piece of meat, and you eat the potato, so there's no shishim, so you get malchus, because you ate a kazayis of a potato, that's like eating a kazayis of tam of the meat. But when you have a what, so that's a din daraisa, if had din asapech. The chazanish is kasha, okay, so it's a kasha. But so you have to say some teretz for that sugya in Chulin about that. But he says like this. So now what are you telling me? You have a potato that was cooked with a meatball, and a kazayis, and now that potato falls into another pot, and you have to what? Mevat, Rabbeinu Tam says you have to have shishim keneged the whole chaticha. You have to have shishim keneged the whole potato, right? It's not enough to have shishim keneged the bliya. But let me ask you a question. If you would have shishim keneged the bliya, and not shishim keneged the chaticha, in this new pot, this new pot that has carrots, say. So shishim keneged the bliya, but you don't have shishim keneged the whole. When you eat those carrots, are those carrots have a tam basar in them? Yes or no? No, of course not, because there's shishim keneged. So to say, therefore, it's lishitoso, and therefore I have to, it's lishitoso, it's not lishitoso, because the din of tam ke'ikar daraisa is on that original chaticha. The fact that Rabbeinu Tam is saying that you need shishim keneged the whole chaticha, not keneged the bliya, that's not a din daraisa. That can't be a din daraisa because l'maisa you have shishim keneged the bliya, so it's batal. So you have shishim keneged the bliya. So since you have shishim keneged the bliya, so then why should it be asr? Why should it be asr? The fact that the first chaticha is asr because you didn't have shishim, but there I taste the meat and the potato. So for frustrates that it's asr. But why should now the potato goes into carrots and the shishim keneged the bliya, but not shishim keneged the chaticha? Why should that be? Why should that be aser? Well, it must be. That's a dinter rabbanim that they were felt that maybe you'll make a mistake, and if you don't have shishim keneged the whole chaticha, not shishim keneged that. So mela. So therefore, technically speaking. Even if you held like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that you don't say it could have, you know. In other words, the fact that whatever you said tam ke ikar in the first chaticha doesn't behoove you to say chaticha nasas nevela, because by the second chaticha there's no tam. If the din of chaticha nasas nevela would be a din daraisa, so then I understand. But it can't be, it's not going to be a dinder. How could it be a dinder aisa? It can't be a dinder aisa because you're going to have shishim keneged the bliya, and therefore there's not going to be any tam in the carrots, in the second pot. So mamela, how could it, so therefore, this is dinder aisa, and this, when is a dinder aisa, when is a dinder abonin? So l'chora, the two things are not, commensurate. Yeah.
We mentioned, actually, Zalman Lechemia gives us, on his one of 72 questions, if three bakaris were phenomena sharasurum holds its deraisa. That they say it's the Rabbin Tamen Adres, the Ma'arik has it, the Bikuvayer says it's the places.
Yeah.
There are shitas that say that.
Well, we'll get to them. We'll get to them. But we'll get to them. But the simple pshat, right, I'll get to those things. But the simple pshat is that it's not, it isn't the deraisa because it's batal. So why should it be deraisa? You can't taste it.
No? From
yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But that's what he points out. Now, okay. So now you want to talk about the Tosfos in Chulin, Daf Kuf, from Gilui Midyan or what? What's the din? The din is that Yikasha Kalim, right? Parshas Matos, the Gula Midian. So they kasha the Kalim, and so if you have small Kalim, forks, knives, so then you go ahead and you put them in a big pot and you kasha them. Either a big pot is going to be batel in the water, or even if it's not batel, if it's ein ben yom, it'll come out and go back in lefgam. What if the big pot itself is treif? So the big pot itself is treif. You don't have to. People think you have to get even a bigger pot. that's ridiculous because when you catch a pot, you don't have to put that pot into another pot. You just put the water in the pot. In other words, not a pot into a bigger pot, and then the bigger pot into an even bigger pot. I mean, and it doesn't work that way. It's that you boil the water in the pot, and it flows over the rim, and memela that'll kasher it. And we assume that it's not like a fork. Kalim katanim you put in the thing, but kalim gadolim, the pot itself, you just boil the water in the pot itself. So obviously, so the question is: so when the Torah tells us to be machshir kalim, the Torah tells us to machshir kalim. So it means even small, even big, all kalim, right? Pashtus, the forks, the knives, and the pots. So Rabbi Natan says bishlama, according to. So he says. So question is, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. So how are you gonna kasher a pot according to Rabbeinu Tam? If you hold, how are you gonna kasher a pot according to Rabbeinu Tam? Obviously, kashering in the Torah means it's when it's still ben yomo. After ben yomo, you don't have to do anything. Before the Rabbanan came along, and obviously, when the Torah is written, it's before the Rabbanan came along. So how do you? So when the Torah is speaking about kashering, obviously it's talking about kashering when it's within 24 hours. So then, how do you kasher? How do you kasher a big pot within 24 hours? Because normally we assume, like Rav Shachter pointed out, that it's not going to be shishim in the water. Can I get the cheres ha-kedera? So that, you know. So then, how is it going to work? So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, well, according to me, it's very good. According to me, it's very good. Because why? Because what you'll do is, you'll say the inside of a pot is 50 to the pot itself. 50 to 1. It's not 60 to 1, 50 to 1. So what'll happen? You'll put the water in, and the blea will come out and go into the water, and then it'll go back in. But it's going to go back in proportionally. In other words, some of it, it's not batel b'shishim, so it'll be batel b'chamishim, but it'll still come back in. But if you do it a couple of times, then each time you do it, some of it stays with the water. You understand? So after two, three, four times, it's kemat nothing that goes back in. So all you have to do is, what you'll have to kasher it is do hagola multiple times. You do hagola multiple times, so that even though you don't have shishim, but part of it will, you know, dissipate in the water, but not enough to say it won't go back in. So part of it will go back in, and that will be that'll be it. But if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, every part of the water now is a shtick isser. So now it goes back in. The whole everything came out, goes back in. It'll never work. It'll only work if you hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim. So that's Rabbi Kivega, like Rabbi Hirsch pointed out. That's what Rabbi Kivega says. So don't you see from here that from that Tosfos that it's a din d'oraisa? Because if it'll be a din d'rabbanan, Chanan, then the whole kasha. We ask a kasha from a pasuk in Chumash, from a din de rabbanan. So obviously the whole kasha is not a kasha. So Ella must be that that Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that it's a din d'oraisa. At least the Tosis is assuming that way within, you know, Rabbeinu Ephraim is saying what he's saying. And therefore, the assumption is that it's a din d'oraisa. That's why it's a kasha. How are Heksha Kalim going to be working according to Rabbeinu Tam if they're Kalim Gedolim? Only according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, it'll work by just doing multiple times of Hagala. And so even though it won't work with one time, because you don't have Shishim, but it'll still go into the water, and then it'll only go back in proportionately, and therefore after a while, it'll be too insignificant. So that's the catch. So what's the... So the Mate Yonison, on the page of the Shulchan Aruch of Yonison Eibshitz, he says an answer to the kasha. In other words, he defends what the shita that it's only Rabbanan, Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Binyan Yaakov, which is the shita that Binyan Yaakov thought was the pashtus, which Rav Soloveitchik thought was the pashtus, and that is the following, the famous Taz. Rav David Cohen wrote a sefer called Hataz Hayadua. The famous Taz. This year, Rosh Hashanah Shachal Yos B'Shabbos, right? So we don't blow shofar. So the Taz asked the kasha. So, but how do you blow shofar in any yontif, any Rosh Hashanah? It's a m'sakin klishir. So obviously, so the Taz, the answer is that if m'sakin klishir is a problem, so then you'll never have the mitzvah. Chachamim can't me'akir a mitzvah. They can, in other words, if something is beferish in the Torah lehetera, then the Chachamim can't get rid of it. That's the famous Taz. It's a 3 or 4 times in the Shulchan Aruch. And Rav David Cohen Shlita from Brooklyn, he over the years he made a list of all the different applications in the Achronim where this Taz comes up, and then he published a shefer called Hataz Hayadua. On all the it's an interesting Taz. The question is it the pashtus? It's not the pashtus. It's the Taz Hayadua. It doesn't mean that it's the simple pshat. But that's what the Taz Taz. I remember one year we should mention Dr. Lam Satzal used to give the shir. There was a very exciting day in the yeshiva. Dr. Lam used to give a yahrzeit shir for Rav Yitzchak Ochanan and Dr. Belkin. Dr. Belkin died on a Chol HaMoed in the Pesach. I remember when he died. I was a kid. I grew up in Rabbi Berzon Shul. Rabbi Berzon's the father of Rav Azariah Berzon, the grandfather of Yedidya Berzon. I grew up in a shul. I remember him talking about when Dr. Belkin was... It was Nifta. Dr. Belkin, learned in Radin. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Moshe Yagi told me from Rav Moshe Bixatzal that they used to say that Belkin was a goyin. Dr. Belkin was a goyin. People don't realize what a big Talmud Chacham he was. So it was a yahrzeit. So it was a very, because the Rav used to come to the Dr. Lam Shir and Rav David Lifshitz and Rav Simcha Elberg. It was Rabbi Yogel, I think he used to come. Chashuva people used to come. It was a very exciting day. I remember one year he said over from his Zayda, Rav Boimel, the Eimek Halacha. It's a very, you should know, Dr. Lam's grandfather was a Goyin Olam. You should realize that. He wrote a tshuva sefer. He was a real, big Talmud Chacham. He wrote tshuvas. One tshuva he wrote to Dr. Lam was on the, what's the halachic status of a lie detector? That was that Dr. Lam asked his Eda, his tshuva in that sefer. So one year Dr. Lam said over from his grandfather sefer about the Taz. He says, "What's the mocker from the Taz? The pasuk in Shoftim, ki polim padova la mishpat. That's the koyach of the chachamim. He says, so when is the koyach chachamim? It's only ki yipale mimcha. It's not beferish. It's hidden. So then that's where they have their jurisdiction. But if it's beferish in the Torah one way, then there's no jurisdiction of chazal. That was the Rav Boimel wrote in his sefer, and Dr. Lamb quoted it one year in the annual shir. You should know also, Dr. Lamb's father used to come. He used to, in the early days, his father used to come to hear the shir. Oh, so that's what the Mata Yonason says. He says the pshat in the Tosis is not that it's a daraisa. It's that if the Torah says there's a din of heksha kelim, so then how could Chachamim go ahead and what and say there's a din of Chanan? Because if there's a din of Chanan, then if there's a din of heksha kelim, so that means by definition there's no din of Chanan. So that was Tosis Kasha. Not to say that it's a din daraisa. Of course not a din daraisa, Chanan b'shari surim. But if there's a din of heksha kelim, so then if there's a din of heksha kelim, so that by definition precludes that there can't be a din of Chanan b'shari surim. Because if there's a din of Chanan b'shari surim, that would be against the pasuk in Chumash where the Chumash is saying heksha kelim. Unless you say the counter argument would be to say no, that you wouldn't have heksha kelim in a chanami. Maybe you wouldn't have heksha kelim in the big pots. Maybe in a chanami it wouldn't work because the Torah never said that there's heksha kelim by all pots. So maybe it's not considered beferish in the Torah, and therefore it'll still work by the small kelim and by the other things. So that was. Mata Yonason, and that's the Taz, and that's the whole, yeah.
It's the back and forth in Tosfos about the big pots. It's good for about this point when it's committed to the crop.
I mean, yeah, so that, in other words, so that could be the Nidon doesn't have to be that we're on the actual Heksha, but right, yeah. You could say. I mean, the Tosis is still maybe more mashma that way. I'm not saying this is the end all, the Mata Yonason's end all of be all, but Rav Yonason Eibshitz. I'll tell you what something Rav Avadi Yosef said about Rav Yonason Eibshitz. There's a sefer called Rabbeinu. What is the sefer called? That's the name of the sefer, Rabbeinu. I have it. It's there was a man, his name was Rav Shitris. He was Rav Avadi Yosef's chavrusa, I don't know what you call it, chavrusa. He was with him the last tkuf of his life, like he every day. And he kept a diary of everything that went on that day, what they learned, what someone came, and what the shayla was. It was and it had also like side comments that he made, You know, it's interesting, like side comments he made. So he once said, Rav Yonason Eibshitz sefer Yaris Devash, it's sweeter than honey. But the Urim V'Tumim, that's a guzma. It's not the Urim V'Tumim.
That's
it means it's not the Urim V'Tumim. I mean, the Urim V'Tumim, you know, it's not the Urim V'Tumim. You understand? That's, yeah. It might be, Dvash might be sweeter than Dvash. But the Urim V'Tumim, it's not the Urim V'Tumim. That maybe is too much these are things that, you know, he said, it's fascinating. It's, they have some psakim there that are not elsewhere. You know, it's give that as like a diary. Much with the dates and everything what happened. So these are the so this is the whole the discussion of the Tam Ke'ikir and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Chaim with that Tosfos and whether the two things are Kol B'Hotalia and how to deal with that Tosfos. Oh, So that's the first Indian that I wanted to talk about, and then now we'll go over to a different Indian. We know that the din, if you have a milk spoon, right, and you take a milk spoon into flesh. So you have to have shishim. Same thing we said before. You need shishim connected the spoon. The question whether only the part of the spoon that went in or connected the whole spoon, etc. So it's a machlokes, machaber ramah, smak. So you stock it in twice, right? So the Mechaber paskins, you stick it in twice, you need two shishims, connected two spoons. Right? And the Ramah says, no, you only need shishim connected one spoon's volume. So what's this idea? Two spoons, I understand. The milk is the same content of the milk. It's not like you have milk and then there's more milk. This one spoon has a certain amount of milk. The fact that you stick it in one time of 100 times, it doesn't change how much content of milk it is. So if you need shishim, can I get the milk, right? So Mali sticking it in one time, Mali sticking it in two times, Mali sticking it in 100 times. So the horror, at first glance, you know, The sheet of the Ramah is understandable. That you stick in the spoon, so you need shishim keneged the amount of the spoon. There's not going to be more milk. The milk is not being misrabe al yidei in multiple. But the mechaber is based on the. The smak says it, and the Truma Sadeshin explains what's the pshat. So he says the pshat is like this, because when you stick it in one time, so then you need shishim keneged that milk. But when you stick it in a second time, so that one time, what happens is the milk is coming out of the spoon. But then, so you have to protect the food by being shishim keneged that. But then there's the meat is coming into the spoon. In other words, not necessarily all the chalav is coming out of the. Not all the chalav is coming out into the meat. We have to be choshesh that maybe it is l'chumra. So we need shishim keneged the whole spoon. But not all of it is necessarily coming out. So part of it is what? Part of it is going to stay in. And then you can have meat coming in. And then it becomes basa b'cholov. And if you're so chanan b'balua, so then there's going to be another issa created in the spoon. So now when you stick it in a second time, you're going to need shishim keneged what? Keneged the basa b'cholov. So it was misrabe. I said, oh, it's the same milk. It's the same milk. And the answer is no. First thing was milk. And then now, with the second chiva, it's basa b'cholov. And it's misrabe because we say chanan b'basa b'cholov. The question is whether you say chanan b'balua. So here you assume chanan b'balua, chanan b'basa b'cholov. So now you can need another shishim keneged the second chiva, because that's going to be this basa b'cholov that's in the spoon, and now you need shishim keneged that. So you need shishim keneged two spoons worth, because one spoon worth is cholov, and the second spoon worth is basa b'cholov. So therefore you need shishim two shishims. That's the Truma Sadeshin's explanation of the. I forget if the smak himself wrote down that explanation, but that's the That's the explanation that's given. But comes the Truma Sedeshin. It's interesting he says this. And maybe at the end I'll say over a Divrei Agada to fit in, and you'll enjoy the Divrei Agada. I'll say from last week's parsha. He says, he doesn't see the old Rabbanim asking the Balabatim when they come with the Shaila of, how many times did you stick it in? The Rabbanim Keshisha don't, the older Rabbanim, they're not asking this. So obviously it doesn't make a difference. Because if it would make a difference, they would be makpid to ask. How many times did you stick it in? So they don't. So it must be, it makes no difference. So now we have to explain why is it that this was a great svara, why you need two shishas. But now we have to undo it, because the Rabbanik Shisha didn't ask. And it was, I was thinking also about another Truma Sedeshin of Shechlar's Tatoya. Truma Sedeshin, I always tell my Talmid, you have to know every Truma Sedeshin. Because a lot of halacha is, every page in Shulchan Aruch is something from the Truma Sedeshin. Every page you learn in Shulchan Aruch is something in the Truma Sedeshin. So Truma Sedeshin is a very important posik. And you know, it's brought down in the Shach that he wrote the questions and the answers. It's not like Igros Moshe, where someone sent the Moshe a shayla, and he's responding. He wrote, like the Shagsari. Shagsari wasn't like someone sent him a question. It was Kriya Shema D'Oraisa. No one was sending him a question. It's just a way of, a technique of presenting information with, so the Truma Sedeshin, that's why they can be medayik, the Shag said, from the shayla of the Truma Sedeshin, because he wrote the shaylas too. Because sometimes it could be that was the case, but there was no case. This was how he wrote it. So there's a discussion in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. If you have a mace in the room and it's soft tumul and the door is closed, and it's soft tumul atzeis, and there's an awning in front of the building, is a kohen allowed to go under the awning because it's soft tumul atzeis? So soft tumul atzeis is mekame, but. But he says that. But who says that that a kohen is muzar to a soft tumul atzeis? Because it's not atzmo shel meis. So he says maybe it's okay. But he says, but since the Rav Shechem pointed out, he says since the rabbanan kishishai were choishes, so we can't go against the rabbanan kishishai. So that was, it reminded me of that Truma Sedeshin, where he speaks about the Rabbanim Kish, you know, his respect for the older Rabbanim. That's, maybe I'll end off the Shiur of the board that I'll tell you that I saw recently. The Rabbanim Kishishai. So he says, Rabbanim Kishishai said this thing that they didn't ask. They never asked in the Shilas when the Baal Basta came, how many times do you stick in it? So the Vajra makes no difference. So says the Truma Sedeshin. So what's the Pshat? The Pshat is like this, that when does it become Basar B'Chalav, the spoon? He says, the spoon only becomes Basar, because one calls man that it's in the pot, so then it's not going to be Basar B'Chalav, because the meat that's in the pot and the meat in the spoon are considered Mekusha. They're connected. And therefore, there's not going to be any basa b'chalav, because the meat, there's milk in the spoon now, it won't come out, and then there's meat in the pot, there's meat in the spoon, but that's connected, then the shishim connected that. It only becomes basa b'chalav when you take the spoon out. Now it becomes basa b'chalav. When you take the spoon out, now it's like a klisheni. Now it's a klisheni. So Mamela, if you hold it, there's no belief by a klisheni, so it never became basa b'chalav. So b'meila, that's why you don't need shishim keneged the second chiva, and that's how the Truma Sedeshin explains it. I wanted to be mosif that perhaps the Truma Sedeshin is working with the svar of the Pri Chadash, because l'chora, you know, we hold that a kli rishon shalol gabei ha'esh is still a kli rishon because it was on the gabei ha'esh. But the Pri Chadash sheet is that's only a din d'rabbanan. That a kli rishon shalol gabei ha'esh, being that it's kli rishon, is only d'rabbanan, because the word is that what was it? You know, Tosfos says that kli rishon defines, you know, it's when you kli rishon on gabei ha'esh, so it's mavashel because the fire is there, so it's on an upsweep. Once it's on gabei ha'esh, so then it's on the way down, and once you're on the way down, it doesn't have that korach anymore. So that's why once it's a kli rishon shalom gabei ha'esh, so then it doesn't have that koyach habishul anymore. So since it was originally on the Eish, so midrabanan, that's the Pri Chadash. And you should know that who told me this? From Mordechai Cohen, the rebel from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I always like to say over that Rav Lichtenstein once said he never saw a krum svara in the Pri Chadash. He never saw a krum svara in the Pri Chadash. So whenever I learn Pri Chadash, I keep that in mind. He said he never saw a krum svar in the Pri Chadash. So it makes a lot of sense that once the shalom gabei ha'esh, the whole toikef of a kli rishon is because it's on an upsweep. Therefore, it's mevachal, because you could have something in a kli sheni that's hotter than the kli rishon, and yet kli sheni is ainu mevachal. The answer is because once it's no longer it's a kli sheni, it's on the downswing. Now it's on the mode of cooling off.
This is the alternative.
So one second. So therefore, if you hold like the Pri Chadash, that's only a din rabbanan, so maybe that's what he says. Since it's only a din rabbanan, so therefore that's not real basa b'cholav, it's only basa b'cholav din rabbanan, and therefore they're more coolers. But if you hold that the din of kli rishon is a shalom b'yesh, is a din d'raisa, so then maybe you wouldn't say the svara of the... Or maybe that also has to do with the question of whether a ladle has a din of kli rishon or kli sheni, and everybody has a truth about that. And also, in other words, that's what I want to be most into this discussion of the witch Mikola. Most of the discussion of that truth is Hadashim, why he says that it's a kli sheni once you take it out, but isn't it a kli rishon shalol gabei ha'esh? So I wanted to put in my mind, I was thinking of whether with the Pri Chadash or against the Pri Chadash, that question.
Where is the Pri Chadash? Is that also
shalol
just on the
Shabbos,
or just
by Yeah, I mean, I guess by all cases, he would say.
Where is it?
Where is it? It's I think it's in your... I'll look it up. You know, we see each other I'll look it up for you where it is exactly. But it's a Pri Chadash that says that Kli Rishon Shalal Gabei Ha'esh is only a Kli Rishon Midrabanan.
Is it an alternative
to Pshat? Yeah, if you know, but if you say Chanan Mebalua, then you know, you're talking about, we were talking about Hechsher Kalim from before, just add in a Nakuda that, you know, there's a whole discussion about ovens, whether you have to kasher ovens or not. You know, is there zeya in ovens? Is there anything? So I follow the shita. He wrote the very beautiful tshuva, Rabbi Zion Vosner. That's Rabbi Vosner's son, Rabbi Zion Vosner. So he wrote in the Or Yisrael many years ago that pashtus is there's no zeya in ovens. Because why? Because the ovens that we have today are so hot that when the steam comes up, by the time it hits the roof, it already
burnt up. That's what Rabbi Mai said to me. How do you know whether Zayah is not? If there's condensation on the top, then you know there's Zayah. But if you never have condensation on the top, then there's no Zayah. So that's what Rabbi Mai holds also, that there's no Zayah in the ovens. Not everyone agrees. Rabbi Moshe held not that way, but that's what Rabbi Tzion Vosner writes. I think he says that was always the minhag. That there's no Zayah in ovens, therefore you could be able to use the same oven, no filtration. Rav Mani doesn't like when people do it at the same time, because if you put one on top of the other, then there could be Zayah, because then it'll get before. In other words, originally there could be Zayah. It's just by the time that it'll hit the roof, it'll burn. It'll already be burnt up.
Microwave also has no Zayah?
Oh. It's a microwave, it's a whole thing. You should look. We're starting today. You should look in the. You know who wrote a beautiful thing on microwaves? It's a correspondence. You should look it up. From Rav Nochum Rabinovich to Rav Henkin. That was the original discussion when microwaves was first starting. Unfortunately, Rav Nochum Rabinovich was just sniffed in recent Kufa. But it's a big topic. I was open to meet him once. I was lucky to meet him once and speak and learning with him once. He was the Rashid in Malay Adumim. That was the most recent position. He was in Jewish College at Board Sachs. Holds him to be his Rebbe. I'm not from Rabbi Navar. You know, the Krakowskis from Muncie. They're his grandchildren. Fascinating. Oh, so he has that whole discussion with the. You should look in the Sefer Gevuras Eliyahu. He's a fellow in Brooklyn, Kleinman. He put it together with nice. He has that correspondence about Ayin Shom. So in the old days, people. I remember. I once was in Baruch for a bar mitzvah years ago. It was around Pesach time. And I was staying by somebody's house, and his arm was in a sling. I said, "What was the arm in a sling for?" He said, "Using a blowtorch to kasher his the oven for Pesach. It's right after Pesach. If you use a blowtorch, that could happen. You could end up with." So that's why I tell people not to use any blowtorches, because it could be two things. So Rabbi Blumenkranz always had the machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, where they say kibolo kach polto. In other words, if you say your oven doesn't get self-cleaning, you don't have a self-cleaning oven, right? So could you just turn it up high? Because, so some quote, draft the quote from Rav Soloveitchik saying that it's kibolo kach polto, because it never got that hot in the first place. So then why do so therefore you can just turn it hot. And Rav Moshe held, and this is it's a prima gadin. Rav Moshe held that Liban is a absolute shvir. Because even though the Blia originally was not that hot, you still need an absolute shear of Liban. So there's no such thing as kibol kapolto, but that's what Rav Moshe held. And people say all these other rabbanim who held that hold it is kibol kach polto by, but it might not be true that the reason why they hold that he can kasher not with self cleaning is because they hold kibol kach polto. It's a different word. I like this word better. It's not the word that people always say over that they hold kibol kach polto but by Liba, that the original Liba was so not so. This is the word. The word is that the ovens we have today are not like pizza ovens. We don't put the food on the karka of the oven. It's intense. So the worst case scenario is that maybe there's Zaya. Even that I told you, maybe not. So if it's only Zaya, so then what? So then maybe Zaya only needs what? Maybe Zaya only needs a Hagolah. And once it only needs Hagolah, then you can have Liban Kal. And And then for sure, the heat of the regular oven is at least 3 months cow. So you don't have to say this vort that is that kabol kach polto by leaving. You could say the reason why that you could do you don't need a self-cleaning oven, kasher oven, if you hold you need the kasher oven, is because the lemaisa, it's the at worst it's only zayah. It's not like there's something on the. It's not like the old ovens where you had redias hapas. So redias hapas means the dough was on the, and the redias hapas was to peel it off the oven. And that's the. So it could be bigger than you don't even need it, but I'll feel if you need to sell. So, but just go ahead and say that. Therefore, you need a blowtorch. That's a chiddush al gabei chiddush. I mean, it could be Rav Moshe held that way, and so I'd have to give a separate shiur to explain to you why Rav Moshe didn't feel this way. That's. Okay. Let me end with some Mili Dagoda on last week's parsha. And I was debating whether I should say it or not. But since we were talking about the Rabbanan Kishishai, I said, oh, that's so. Rashi says, after they were koivish. Sichon v'og. That's when Moshe starts. Eschana, the Medrash says 515. 515 tefillos. So why all of a sudden he starts to daven ba'esahi? So there's this beautiful sefer Yad Shalom, where a Friedman. He says a beautiful word, Shalah HaKadosh. He says, Hatachas Elokim, when Rachel was complaining, she doesn't have children, so as Yaakov said, Hatachas Elokim, I'm okay, Hashem, I'm going to be reported. My God, so the Shalah says a different word. The Shalah says, Hatachas Elokim means, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, Chazal say, why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Ovos, Akaros, and the, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Ave for the Tfilas Tzadik. So it says the Shalom HaKadosh, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you don't have that. And that's what he says. That's what he meant to say. Hatachas Elokim, in Eretz Yisrael you have the direct hashkacha. You're on the right, underneath the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In Chutz La'aretz, you're sorry. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu delegates things in Chutz La'aretz. So it's not Hatachas Elokim. So that's what it says. You won't be the daven, you're in Chutz La'aretz. So you want to say maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu is mamma mini pre-bottom because he wants I should have him, but Hatachas Elokim on the Elokim, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. And this whole thing only existed of Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Sa'al and Tefillas Tzaddikim means when Kadosh Baruch Hu is being Mashiach direct, so then he's B'Sa'al there for the Tefillas that come direct. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's going through a Sar anyway, so that then that's what Yaakov says. But not in, do you say I want it down for you? Because you want, that's the whole idea why we're having problems conceiving. Hatachas Elokim ani or Shalom. So that says the Yad Sholem is the Pshat. That Why did Moshe Rabbeinu start davening? Ba'esahi. Because now they conquered Sichon V'Og. Sichon V'Og is now annexed to Eretz Yisrael. It's a whole discussion that's part of the Arotzos HaSluchos. So therefore, he says, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not letting Moshe Rabbeinu in to Eretz Yisrael because he wants him to daven. Why did he daven before? Because before it was in Chutz La'aretz.
So therefore, you don't have that din of tachzol kim on elshem miyachim mivad. But then he says a different word. That's what I really wanted to say. He says, it says in Yerushalmi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the Mishmar Shal Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim the Torah. So I think it's the quotes of the Kedushas Yontif. Kedushas Yontif was the Satmar Rebbe's father. He says, I have one kasha. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill? He fulfills the mitzvahs. How does he fulfill the mitzvah of Yerushal King? How can God fulfill that mitzvah? Yerushal King. So you know what he says? You know how he fulfills the mitzvah of Yerushal King? Interesting. What is the Rabbi Kiva Dorish? Yes. It's all Shemuel Kachativa. The Rabbos tell me the Chacham. And Tzadik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekayim. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fulfillment of Yiras Elokim. Because S is the Rabbos Talmid HaChachamim. S is the Rabbos Talmid HaChachamim. So then Rab. So if a Talmid Chacham is Gozer, Tzadik is Gozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekayim, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fulfillment. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Hatachi Loso Laros S kodocha, S yocha, S. He's keeping repeating S, because he's hinting to that drasha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm going to be gozer now. That I should go into Eretz Yisrael, and then Hakadosh Baruch Hu has to be mekayim. And because Hakadosh Baruch Hu has to be mekayim, because S Rabbos Kol Nidei Chachamim. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so I'm going to be gozer now. That I should go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be mekayim. Why? Because he has to kind of call it Torah Kula also. And he has to be kind of this of Yom Kippur. The only way he can do it is through the S. Hatachim also arose. S Adam. S Kodol. S. 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 L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim is the drasha of Okeh Hatira. And after Pekin, Hashem didn't do it for other reasons. But that was the idea that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the respect of Talmid Chachamim and Yiras Talmid Chachamim, and then when the Talmid Chachamim says something, and that's the idea, that sometimes you have a person that has one person, one Talmid Chachamim, and then everyone else he couldn't care less about. So anyone has that attitude is not have covered Talmid Chachamim, because that means he has this one Talmid Chachamim, because this one Talmid Chachamim give him a connection, and then it's not like he has a covered Talmid Chachamim. It says, so this one Talmid Chachamim, he thinks if he'll show respect to him, then that'll give him whatever he needs to get. But a person, it's like Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes. He says, Eze Mechubel HaMechabel is a Brios. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner means all the Brios. Because if you only Mechabel certain people, so then what? So then it means that you're only mechabed them because you want something from them. You're not mechabed them, but if you mechabed everybody, that's the tzelem elokim. That's Rav Huttner's vort. Rav Huttner said a vort once. He says, Avos Yisrael is a very high madrega. He says, Avos Yisrael means to love somebody because it's not to love you because I like your personality and I like your midos and I like you. So that's easier because you're a good guy, so it's easy to like someone who's a But not everyone's personality does everyone like, and not everyone's me. But since he's a member of Baal Yisrael, so that's why Rav Huttner writes. If you liked somebody, say, and you didn't know he was a yid, but you liked him because he was a nice guy, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. Whereas Avos Yisrael, to be mekayim the mitzvah is to love him because he's of Yisrael. And that's what Rav Huttner said, and that's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner said about Avos Yisrael, and that's the idea. And that's, I remember, at the Levaya from Rav Shlomo Warman. Shlomo Warman at the Levaya, Rav Shlomo Warman passed away in the middle of the summer, a couple of years ago. So
to Rabbi from Queens, Rabbi Savitsky from Queens, said over, he quoted Yerushalmi, that everything, it was Yerushalmi Brachas, that says, there's a tachlif to everything. In other words, you want this chair, I can get a different chair. But by Talmud Chacham, there's no tachlif, because every Talmud Chacham is unique. In other words, you don't say, oh, we have a Talmud Chacham here, what do we need this person for? You know, like someone maybe said once. No, every Talmud Chacham is a special person. There's a unique quality as a Talmud Chacham. So, that's how he said over the Yerushalmi says. And that was one of the things he was, when he was maspid Rabbi Shlomo Warman. Savitsky said over that word. Talmud Chacham, every Talmud Chacham, a person who's only mechabed, you see some people, they only mechabed certain people because it's not about the Torah, it's all about politics. It's all about, you know, they want something, they need this connection, they need this. So, but somebody else is also Talmud Chacham, they're not mechabed, so you see that's Megala on the whole Chisarn. Okay, so let's just chazer over briefly what we said, and again, I thank Rabbi Hirsch for inviting me this summer to share Divrei Torah. It's always good to see him. You know, it's a big, you know, especially this summer, things are difficult, and you know, like Chazal say, Torah shel amadati ba'api hi omdali. When things are a little difficult and you still learn, that's the biggest chus. So when things are easier, it's less. But when things Torah shel amadati ba'af, when things were, I remember Rabbi Yitzchak Isby, who used to be a Rav in Brooklyn. Unfortunately, he was Nifter many years ago. And he was the son-in-law of Rav David Kronglass. Rav David Kronglass was the Mashkiach of Ner Yisrael. He was a big Talmud Chacham. So he had a Shal Shudis on his yard site. Rav David's yard site. So Rav David wrote a sefer called Divrei David. Divrei David is mainly a sefer on Zrayim, an Ian sefer on Zrayim, and some other pieces, but it's mainly on Zrayim. So Rabbi Isby said at the, he says, why did he write a sefer on Zrayim? He said, you know when he wrote that sefer? He says, when the Mir Yeshiva came to Shanghai, everyone speaks about Shanghai, but it wasn't easy. You think it was easy to be there? It was the heat of the summer. It wasn't easy. So Rav David thought if he would learn something new that he never learned before, Be'ian, that would give him fractious. And so that's what he learned. So he said Zrayim, he never learned Be'ian before. So he learned Zrayim, and those were the Chidushim. So if you, when you know, things are difficult and you learn, you keep learning, that's a tremendous schus that you have. So you're sitting here and learning, you know, Beis Medrash, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's a tremendous schus that you all have and continue to have. So just to review, we discussed Tam Ke'ikar, the different shitas. We discussed shitas Rabbeinu Tam and of Heter Nishapech. We discussed the Rabbeinu Tam of Rabbeinu Ephraim. We discussed whether the Rabbeinu Tam of Tam Ke'ikar is Lashitaso with the Rabbeinu Tam of Hanan Bishari Surim. Bnei Yaakov says no, because in the second Chaticha there's no Tam, but Tosfos Chulin's Mashma that it's a Din Daraisa. That's the Kasha from Hechsher Kelim. And then we discussed the Mate Yonason's Teretz with the Taz Hamafursam. And then we discussed the Machlokas Mechaber Ramah, whether you toche v'kav kacholevis the Kedera Shabasa, whether you need one shishim or two shishims. And we discussed the Truma Sadesha, the explanation of that it's possible. The second Tchiva is to Mevatel the Basa Mechalev. And then we discussed So why does the Rama say you don't need and the Rabbanu Kishishai, just like the Truma Sedeshit speaks about the Rabbanu Kishishai that were choshish for Sof Tum Ulatzes for Kohanim, and here the Rabbanu Kishishai were going Lakula. the other Rabbanu Kishishai were going L'chumra. But Rabbanu Kishishai, Rabbi Ratzfiegel always liked to say over at the Musa Shmuz, that there's a famous Devar Avram, that why don't we have a Sfeik the Yomer Sfira so Omer, because Sfira has to be exact. You can't have Sfira, today is the third and the fourth. But then he says, but the Baal HaMor said not like me. So the Baal HaMor says, because of the last day, then you'll end up counting Sfira on Shavuos, and then it'll be a Bizayin to Shavuos. So therefore, he chucked it. He says, obviously, my Pshat probably is not right. It's against Rishonim. So he gave a Sichas Musar on Kovod HaChamim and Kovod, how the Dvar of Ram was he had deference to the Rabbanu Kishishai. The Baal Avram had the Baal Avram, but there was a Baal HaMor. And then we discussed that maybe that has to, and the question is, because when you take it out, it's also called when you take it out, so when you take it out, it's a cliche, but then maybe not, maybe it's a cliche, so then we discussed the Machlokas, the Pre-Chadash and others, but the din of Klirisha Shalmeish, is that a Klirisha Midaraisa, or it's only a Klirisha Midrabanan, because the whole idea is that the Gabi'esh is when it's, that's the idea. When something's Al Gabi'esh, I'll end up with one Devar again. About Al Gabi Ha'esh, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that in the Beis HaMikdash, one of the Nisim was that Lokava, the Geshamim never extinguished the Ha'esh Shah Gabi Baruch. Because you would think, the Mizbech was outside, so we had one rainstorm like we had yesterday, right? It's a rainstorm, and it never happened. But it was never Mechaber. So he says over the Lev Arad, the Sabra Rebbe, says over another word. He says, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so you're like frightened. You're in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's frightening. So you can become paralyzed. Who am I? In this Makom Kaddish, and it take away your Hislavas. So he says, the Geshamim means anava, right? The Gemara says in Tainus that water is anava. Holech mimakom gavol lemakom nomuch. It says sometimes you have too much anava, it can paralyze you. So that's the idea. In the base of Mikdash, you created anava, but the anava never took away the Islavis of the people. Now the kava make shaman as ish agavim mizbech. There was anava in the Mikdash, but we still had Islavis. Two things. Because sometimes you have too much anava, you get paralyzed, you lose your Islavas. You say, who am I? What can I do? And that's that's what the Sama Rebbe and the Sefer Pirkei Avos explained that mishnah. So again, thank you very much for being here, and yishkar to you for the learning in this difficult times. So yischarcha, kfulam and hashamayim, and bez Hashem, we should have only good things in the coming year, and everyone should be well, be able to, like the Rambam writes in Chochos Tshuva, we need all the Gashmias to be taken care of, so we can focus on the Ruchnias. So Bez Hashem, all the Gashmias people should be well, happy, and have Harchovas Adas to be able to be over Hashem in the proper way.